Nothing greater than God's presence. Amen. You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to be drunk in the Spirit. There's too many straight Christians. It's disgusting. Everybody should be slammed in the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands to heaven and ask Him to drink, get you, fill you. More drink. We want more drink. We go to Joel's place. The drinks are in the house, not on the house. Praise God. Yes, we're drinking in the house. Glory to God. Tell him, Lord, I feel you. I got your peace. I got your joy. I got your righteousness. And I got your spirit. Glory. You know what it's time for? The spirit to break out. Amen. It's time to break out. Everyone say, I'm breaking out. See, confession brings possession. What you speak is what you eat. And what you eat is what you become. So that means you can't allow your feelings to dictate what's coming out of your mouth. I feel terrible. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, everybody knows how you feel by how you act. You don't have to tell nobody. Glory. We're going somewhere this morning. I don't know where yet. But God's got a plan. Let's go to Luke 18. Death, that three-letter word, die. Amen. People come complaining. You know the simple thing is to say? Just die. Die to what? Die to yourself, man. Don't trip over your lips. Hallelujah. Some people need to tie their tongue in a bow. Lisa Lee said they'll be designer tongue. Hallelujah. Matthew 18:18. I mean, Luke, good. You guys are on key. Good. Somebody tighten me up. Baby. I can't believe you said that. In front of the kids. Sure got hot in here. Woo! Do we need to turn the AC somewhere? Whew. Where are we going? Luke 18, man. Somebody get there quick. And verse 18, would you read it with me? Now a certain ruler asked Jesus, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery. You notice that's the first one. Do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said, I'm okay. All right, homie, here's something you can do. You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Well, I kind of freaked this dude out, man. You kidding? I went to college. I've got a trade. I've got all this stuff, man. I've been working my whole life to save all this stuff. The problem wasn't the material. The problem was that's what he was basing his whole life on, is what he had built. See, when you begin to base your life on your trophies, your money, what you've accomplished, all of these things, then you've moved him out of the way. Amen? Because your life must be based on what he's done, not what we've done. So Jesus challenged him that. In verse 23, and when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard it is for those who have money, or those who are rich, to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, who then can be saved? But he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Everyone say that with me. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Huh. The things that seem impossible are actually possible. But they're impossible when you try to do it according to man's wisdom, man's strength, the worldliness of man. It's impossible. Amen? He said, but all things are possible with God. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. And Jesus said to him, surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God. Who shall not receive? Everyone receive. Come on, say receive.
Receive.
Many times in this present time, and in the age to come, eternal life. So what's he asking? Say, man, you need to give it up. Again, I can only share with you that my life did not change. And I was challenged by the Lord. He said, guy, you want to get off of drugs and alcohol? You want a new life? I thought, whoa. Because see, I always tried to bring being clean into the old life. So I'd stay clean for 2 days. Sometimes 8 hours. Because I lived to get high. And I realized when he asked me that I had to give up everything. Now, I want you to understand it's not a one-time thing. It's an everyday thing. It's every day. What do you mean? You've got to give up your wife, your children. I got to give it all up, and so do you. In other words, you cannot rely on anyone or anything but him. You are completely leaning on him. It doesn't mean I don't love my wife and my children or my brothers and sisters. But I'm willing to give up everything for him. And we must reach that place. It's called final decision. And if we haven't reached final decision, then we're easily swayed. We'll be easily swayed by what a spouse says. Easily swayed by what a child says. Easily swayed by what your boss says. Easily swayed by your bank account. Easily swayed. Not saying all things are possible with him. What we say then is, only certain things are possible with him. The rest is on me. And that's not true. Amen? See, fear is a killer. Fear. The enemy hits us with Satan's greatest weapon is power. Satan's greatest weapon is deception. And his power is fear. And he loves to bring fear because it removes the impossibles. Does everybody get it? Where things are impossible with God, he removes those things. In other words, all things are possible, aren't they? So what the enemy tries to do is bring us in a place where we think, man, there's no way this is possible. It's impossible to do. That's how the enemy wants me and you to think. But God wants us to come to a place where all things are possible to those who trust him, to those who believe him. So we've got to understand that our battle is with voices. They're called demons. Spirits attack us. They're trying to prevent us from going forward. And actually, they're trying to prevent us from manifesting the gift of faith. So they attack us with doubt, fear, unbelief, confusion, the cares of the world. So when the Lord asked me, Guy, do you want to get off of drugs and alcohol, or do you want a new life? I knew exactly what he meant. And when I said yes, I was hoping that it was something would happen, but nothing did. Because then he said, show me. Show me that you want a new life. Show me. And after 2 months, I did all I could to show him. Then he came and rescued me. And I've never been the same. Never. I've not gone back to use drugs. I've not gone back. I've gone forward. Not because of what I did, but because of what he did. And because of what he did, now I hold on to him. Amen. But see, the enemy's going to try to always, you got to hold on with two hands, not one. Amen. See, when you hold on to two hands, you don't let go. You don't have an opportunity to grab something else. Because see, so many believers have gone from here to here. And then they begin to grab the things of the world again. Even though they're still trying to hold on to God. So they're actually hanging between two worlds. See, the enemy attacks us with sickness, disease, infirmities, addictions, fear. All of these things he attacks us with. Pain. All kinds of things he attacks us with. But I'm telling you, we got to grab hold with two hands to him, no matter what it is. Because when we let go, we open a hand to something else. That's where people fall into medication. I'm not talking about medication that is needed, because there is some medication needed. But this is where people fall into addiction of pain pills. How many of y'all, pain pills don't heal you? They make you stupid. They deceive you. We only take it once a day. Why? Does everybody get this? I'm telling you, the enemy will come in, and then what happens is you're not grabbing hold of God with two hands, because then one thing's another. You realize how many people go to get addicted from prescription medication? Because the doctor says it's okay, doesn't mean God does. And does everybody get this? Everything that the enemy's trying to do is move people, separate, 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 separate. Money. Money's another thing. People do great things to gain more money. Great things. Money can't buy salvation. And money can only temporarily buy happiness. But it can't buy the joy of the Lord. Amen? Money's another thing. That's another thing where people let go. And they compromise and become complacent. I'm telling you, without God's presence, we're nothing. And when we let go of God's presence, we let go of one, we begin to compromise. We come to a place where we're not consistent anymore. We come to a place where not only the compromise and complacency, laziness starts. We look for justifications and reasons not to fellowship or get in God's presence. Oh, I can do it at home. Not as good as you can corporately. Yeah, but I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to support a family. That's an I, and I. There's no I's in the kingdom. There's only him. Listen, this is something I didn't plan on speaking on. This is the Holy Spirit saying, listen, it's time to tighten up. Because things are about ready. God wants to bless us, but he's trying to get us spiritually positioned. And if we're not spiritually positioned, you can't be spiritually positioned this way. It's impossible. You know what happens? You get partial. Hello? Can you imagine somebody giving you $500,000 check and ripping it in half and saying, here's the half. What the heck good is it? None. You need the whole check, don't you? That means you got to grab hold with two hands, not just one. And that's what God is saying. We need to. He says, you grab hold of me, I'll grab hold of you. You let go of me, I let go of you. One of the things we don't want to do is grieve the Holy Spirit. Those are called catalysts, where the enemy tries to put things where we touch and it opens the door to the enemy and it removes the Spirit of God. He steps away. That's why the word says, come out from among them and don't touch anything unclean. It doesn't mean that it's to the world it may be clean, but to me and you it's unclean. Amen? Things that are unclean, things that will interrupt your consistency, things that will interrupt your prayer, things that will interrupt your soberness, and that's vigilance, things that interrupt. Man, they give out prescription drugs like candy. You know, if you got a headache, okay, but they go from Advil to sleep at night with this one to, no, you need to get up with this one. And then they got the one that has a butterfly on it. And then, of course, the side effect is hope you wake up. Take at your own risk, you know. I mean, all of these antidepressants. That's where the word zombie comes from, I think. Zombie antidepressant. Those things just, and then of course the side effects of those are suicide. So let's just take a couple of those and die and fulfill God's will. No. No. All things are possible to those who believe. Amen? Amen. It's called the power of possibility. That means that there's a place where your spirit must break out to release the power of possibilities. Amen? Go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrewed because she didn't. Aren't you glad we're not religious? Thank you, dear. Hebrews 5. I mean, Hebrews 11. I got backup. Hallelujah. In verse 5. Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith. Faith. F-A-I-T-H. Fighting attacks in the heavenlies. Are you a fighter or a runner? Are you a compromiser or an endurer? By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How many of y'all want to please God? Do you understand that this is a prophetic? Enoch was taken because he pleased God. So you think those that don't please God are going to be taken? No. That's a prophetic word from the Lord. He said, if you're not pleasing me, why would I take you? Verse 6, it says something else. It says, but without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and a what? And that he is a rewarder. So everyone say rewarder. Of those who what? Diligently seek him. Those who diligently seek him. So when we believe, we receive, and we execute. Amen? Again, God is trying to spiritually position us so that we're willing to reject the ways of the world and receive the ways of him. And when we're spiritually positioned, we're no longer relying on us, we're relying on him. Even the word says, lean not on your own understanding. Too many times we put our own understanding before waiting on God. That's why he says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. People cast their cares upon him and still don't even wait for an answer. Oh, Lord, you got it. I got it. Now, wait a minute. So they're doing this. Then they waste money. They waste time. Amen. They waste effort. And they're not expanding the kingdom of God. God wants our spirit to break out so that we get into position for the power of possibilities. Does everybody get this? And Titus 2. Titus chapter 2. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and tell him God loves you. How many of y'all know he loves us? Amen. Unconditionally. Amen. No matter what your neighbors say, God loves you. Amen. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, for the grace of God. Now I want you to understand that God's grace is known as God's plan. Amen? God's grace is what? God's plan. It's not some mystical, magical thing that says, oh, I'm saved by grace. No, you're saved because you're cooperating with God's plan. Amen. And what's the price? The price is cooperation. Amen. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live what? Soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem. That it says he might redeem. In other words, not everyone's willing to cooperate. That he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. How many of y'all want to be purified for his own special people? Amen. It says, zealous for good works. Zealous for good. Let me tell you, if you are zealous for God's good, you want to do the right thing no matter what. And there is no compromise in that arena. None. You want to do the right thing no matter what. Has everybody got it? So in this area, because we want to do the right thing no matter what, we are not going to compromise. We are not going to be led by how we feel. We're not going to make our decisions about. We're going to take one hand off of the world that has been so busy entangling itself in the affairs and let go and grab both hands to God Almighty. Why? That's the only way we allow him to position us. Other than that, we are not fully positioned. We are partial. And God wants to fully position us now. It's that time. Because things are about ready to get poured out. And if we're not fully positioned, we're only getting partial. Is everybody okay? Now look at 15. What does that say? Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one what? Let no one despise you. Let no one, who cares, man? We got to stop being men pleasers and start being God pleasers. Again, the plan of God is for us. The first thing is to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, so he can redeem us and purify us and be his special people. In other words, so he can express himself through us. He can't express himself through us if we're still holding on to things of the world. We can have a form of it. We can almost look like it, but we're only doing partial. Jesus didn't show one arm and one leg. Amen? He showed up in fullness. And that's what the word says, that we are to be trained up so that the fullness of Christ is developed in us. That means there's an area where we've got to let go of things. Amen. So the enemy attracts us to all kinds of... He's always setting a trap for us every single day. The word says he shoots his arrows at us to try and cause us to stumble, to try and cause us to sway. You know, when we minister in the jail and in the prisons and so forth, and one of the things we share with someone, especially the guys that have girlfriends on the outside and whatever, most of the time when they come to the Lord and after a period of time, they find out it's the wrong girl anyways. Well, she was a good Christian. Well, if she was a good Christian, she wouldn't be sleeping with you. Amen. Let's get real. That's the time to turn. But so many times we're like, man, I need to go there and get my clothes. What, God can't provide you new ones? Since when are we limited? See, the enemy's always trying to set a trap. That's why we need overseers to guide us until we're willing to discern these things. Amen? Acts chapter 10. Acts 10. Praise God. In verse 37. Let's speak it together, please. Acts 10, verse 37. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. With the what? Holy Spirit, and with power. Power. Who went about doing what? Good. In other words, he was pleasing God. Does everybody get it? He was pleasing God. And it says, and he was healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Well, if you ain't pleasing God, you expect to be God with you? No. And that means if you're not doing good, then those things that are good, then you can't be pleasing God. You're going to tell by your own fruit. Some people just don't want to see him. I don't want to see him. They're too busy looking at everybody else's stuff. They can't see their own. Doing good and healing those who are oppressed by demons. Because that's what brings oppression. But he said it was the anointing, the eternal presence and power of truth of God Almighty. God placed his hand on Jesus. Of course, we know Jesus was God himself. But when the anointing comes on you and me, that means God's hand's on us. That means he wants you to stretch out your hands. But both of them, hello, you can't do this. That ain't going to happen. You'll get partial. It's got to be this. We've got to be willing to let go of everything in this realm and grab hold of eternity. Everything that he says. Why? Because he wants to spiritually position us so our spirit can break out and release the power of possibility where nothing is impossible. 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4. Now, one of the things that the enemy loves to do is try to get you out of God's time. People have bought things out of God's time, married out of God's time, made decisions out of God's time, all kinds of things. And when a person is easily moved out of God's time, what happens is the reason why they're most likely pushed out of God's time is because they're afraid. They're afraid that they're going to miss something. That means they're trusting in themselves and not him. The enemy loves that. Remember, His weapon is deception and his power is fear. So he influences, he penetrates, he infiltrates with fear. So a person then says, oh my gosh, if I don't buy that, somebody might buy it. And if I don't grab a hold of this person and marry them now, somebody else might marry them. Or if I don't make this decision to do this now, something else. Hello? That's called fear. And then they regret it later. Even it seems so wonderful now. Anybody ever made a decision they regretted? If you didn't raise your hand, you better repent. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Come on, we're going to read this one together. Are you ready? Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. I'm the only one. Why does it only happen to me? Because you're out of position. But God uses these things to train you. Amen? What does it say? But what? Rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and God rests upon you. But again, if you're reproached for the name of Christ, not for your name. And not for wrong decisions. Amen. Only for the name of Christ. Nothing else. Not because we made a wrong decision. Oh man, you wouldn't believe, but I'm doing this for Christ. Yeah, right. You made a wrong decision. You need to repent, get back in position, and cut loose of that emotional attachment. And let God build the house and stop us. Amen. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. If you're not, you're an idiot. For the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he's blasphemed, but on your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, a lustafarian, an evildoer, or a busybody in everybody's email, texts, and other people's matters. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, hello, Christ-like, if you suffer Christ-like, not human-like, let him not be ashamed. But let him glory in God in this matter. For the time has come for what? Judgment to begin in the house of God. How many of you know God has shaken this place? He's shaken every area that can be shaken, so it ain't shaken no more. For the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God. Everyone say, suffer to the will of God. Not the will of man. Commit their souls to him in doing what? Good as to a faithful creator. Praise God. Trials. What are these trials for? To test our faith, to remove impurities from us, and to expose our enemies. To test our faith, remove impurities, and expose our enemies. Romans 12. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6 first. Galatians 6. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Oh, glory. Verse 7, do not be what? I guess nobody's there yet. Do not be what?
Deceived.
Do not be what?
Deceived.
Turn to your neighbor and tell him, don't be deceived.
Don't be deceived.
Don't be what?
Deceived.
Deceived. God is not mocked. Hello. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. It's a law no one gets away with. For he who sows to his flesh will the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life. And verse 9, let's speak it. Let us not grow weary while doing good. Let me ask you this. If you get counsel from the Lord and you reject it, is that doing good?
No.
He says, don't let us grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will what? Reap if we don't lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. God knows all and is not mocked. Don't stop doing good and don't stop pleasing, even when mistakes arouse. Even when you make a mistake, get back in position.
Amen?
Amen? None of us is perfect. We're perfect in Him, but unfortunately we're still goofy. We must break out of our mind. Does everybody understand? We got to break out of our mind so we can penetrate. We can't break out. In other words, you can't break in unless you first break out. Amen? And these things that we need to penetrate, what we talked before, are called barriers. They're dimensional barriers of doubt, fear, unbelief. It's got all kinds of labels on it that people look at. Oh, they read them every day. Lust, this, that, whatever, fear, anxiety, stress, doubt, unbelief, bitterness, unforgiveness. These are all spiritual barriers that people fear. All of these things that they're, and that's what we need to break every day. But you can't break in until you break out. See, people are trying to break in and they've never broken out yet. And they keep slamming themselves right into the same wall over and over and over and don't get free. They make all kinds of proclamations, but they never break through because they haven't broke out themselves yet. Is everybody okay? 1 Peter 5. Hallelujah. First Peter 5:5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be what? Submissive to one another and be clothed. Everyone say, be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud. Proud, pride. But God gives grace to the humble. Verse 6. Therefore what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, be alert, be consistent, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It says what? Resist him. Resist him. Resist him. Steadfast where? In the faith. Fighting attacks in the heavenlies. Amen? Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you suffered a while, perfect you, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you so you're no longer movable. How many of y'all, God wants to get us to a place where we're not movable anymore? Amen? The devil will resist your breakout. He resists it with the cares of the world, with pride, with lust, with fear. He's trying to resist your breakout because he knows if you can break out, you can break in. He does not want us to break out. In Romans 12. Everyone say, if I can't break out,
I can't break in.
Only when I break out
can I break in.
I've never seen a prisoner in jail break into another place until he broke out. Well, I mean, you know how many Christians are in prison? And I don't mean physical. I mean spiritual. And they're still trying to break out. And they don't realize the key's right in their hand. They have no idea. Because the enemy's got them so caught up and so busy up here that they haven't broke out yet and go, oh my gosh, I can get out. Oh, glory. Glory. Romans 12. Is that where we flip to? Well, we need to speak Romans 12 in verse 1. Is everybody there? Amen. Praise God. What does it say?
I beseech you,
brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that you what? Present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. In other words, you're to commit your spirit, soul, and body to God every day. That's a requirement. See, you want to get rid of you as much as you can. It says, so you want to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your responsibility. In verse 2, what does it say? Because he's going to explain, look at this is how you're going to have to do this. Do not be conformed to this world by protecting yourself. Has everybody got it? Do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by renewing your mind that you may prove what is that good and that acceptable and perfect will of God. The sacrifice of self to God by removing self from worldly lust and breaking out of worldly thinking, which will release the power of possibility. Is everybody okay? 1 Peter 2. So God be a spiritual sacrifice. Was he the greatest sacrifice? Amen. So now we need to present our spirit, soul, and bodies as a living sacrifice to him. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Hallelujah. It says, coming to him as a what? Living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Everyone say, I'm chosen by God.
Chosen by God.
And I'm precious. Verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a what? Spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Okay, everyone say, I'm a spiritual house. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Say, my lips, my tongue is the altar of God now. To offer up sacrifices of praise. Hallelujah. Verse 6. Therefore, it also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, what's the word believe mean? Follow. He is precious, but to those who are disobedient or not following, the stone which the builders rejected has become a chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, why? Being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. All right, verse 9, are you ready? Come on, let's check this out. Let's speak it. But you are what? A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now a people of God, who not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices of praise. Let me share one of the things that break you out of your mind. Praise. People that are not willing to praise cannot get broke. You can't break out. You praise your way out. Why? Because you sow your way out. That's one of the areas. You can cast down all thoughts and imaginations and whatever, but they keep coming to you, several emotional attachments to break out. You praise your way out. Amen? 1 Corinthians 10. Break our walls down. Yeah. Glory. 1 Corinthians 10:19. What am I saying then? That an idol is anything? Or what is offered to idols is what? Anything? Rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to what? They sacrifice to what? Now wait a minute. If our lips are a place of sacrifice, how would I sacrifice to demons? Singing secular songs. That's a point of catalyst. That's a point of contact. Singing secular songs. What's it promote? Lust, fear, anxiety, stress, rebellion, disobedience. Hello? People have no idea. Look, the devil ain't stupid. He knows how to get people to offer sacrifices to him. See, since Jesus came in the world, he stopped the sacrifices. Hello? He was the ultimate sacrifice. But the enemy still requires a sacrifice. That's why he left God. What did he want? He wanted the sacrifices of praises, didn't he? He was trying to steal the praises of God to bring praises to himself. So when you sing secular songs, because what's behind the intent? Who's promoting that song? Hello? Well, what's the proof? People don't even realize that every song in the secular world is produced with which language? And every time before that song comes out, or that album or whatever comes out, it is put in a culvern where it's prayed over by 12 witches for so many days, and they call up and conjure up demons so that when you listen to that music, it causes you to like that music, so you buy more and more, and then they can't get rid of it because you become addicted to it. Everybody got it? Now, the world don't know that stuff. They're just going around. And they're listening to the songs going, yes. They become lustafarians. Because the purpose is lust. Lust. Everything is lust. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. That's what it promotes. It opens the point. Let me tell you, when that contact is made, spirits have a legal right to access that person, whether they're a believer or not. There are believers that are demonized right now and possessed because they opened themselves to that music. But it's only country music. Listen, if it's Christian music, it's promoting Christ, isn't it? I don't care if it's rock. We can rock in Christ, can't we? In fact, he's known as the Rock, right? But it's got the intent behind it must be of God, not of the devil. Or else we open ourselves up to it. And we actually begin to offer the sacrifices of praises to demons. And then people wonder why things happen in their lives, their marriage, their business, their finances, all kinds of other stuff. Look at what you touch in the spirit realm will open up. Everything begins in the spirit realm and manifests in the physical realm. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Look at verse 20 again. Rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. Hello. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord. In other words, you can't hold on to God with one hand and a demon with the other. It says you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. It's the same thing with drugs. It's the same thing. What's the word drug come from? A word called pharmakia, which means black magic, witchcraft, and sorcery. Amen. Amen. Everybody okay? Amen. Snap. Called thoughts of agreements. Remember, we want to break out. Amen. We want to break out and get spiritually positioned so that nothing is impossible. So that the power of possibility is released, where the gift of faith is manifested. Revelation 2. Revelation 2:12. I need to get this all in so we know. Amen. I got a few scriptures left. So just bear with me and receive, believe, and execute. Revelation 2:12. Let's speak it together. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos, write, these things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you held fast to my name and do not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you. Is everybody ready? Because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam and who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to what? Idols. And to commit sexual immorality. Again, when there is association of sacrifices to demons, perversive lust is released. That's why people commit adultery, fornication, amongst other things, but I'm not going to mention here. Is everybody okay? Verse 15. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. In other words, now even Jesus said, I'm going to destroy him with what? My mouth. Why? Because what you speak is what you eat. What you eat is what you become. When we begin to speak and sing ungodly things, we eat it. And it promotes sexual perversion, lust in our mind. And lust is just not sexual. Lust is an overwhelming desire. Addiction is lust. It's an overwhelming desire. Pornography is lust. Even people become workaholics. They become lustful over money. Does everybody get it? That's all you need to do is touch an agreement in the spirit realm. And it opens the door to you. In James 4. And oppression. People don't realize that oppression is nothing but fear. People who are oppressed are fear. But he who is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Everyone say, I'm not my own. For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 John chapter 2. We are joined in thought with the Lord. Your thoughts. Now, if your thoughts are joined with lawlessness, you're joined with a harlot. Has everybody got it? 1 John chapter 2. Oh, it's a good day to die. Don't let the spirit of slumber deceive you. Pick up your sword and fight. Don't be a wimp. Be a fighter. Amen? It's time to fight. No breakthrough is going to come without a fight. People stay in captivity because they're not willing to fight. They're only set by a certain limit. Okay, I've done enough. Well, let me tell you, if Jesus said that, you and I wouldn't be here. He said it's what? Finished! He said it's what? Finished! Verse 15. Let's speak it. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. It says that they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifested, because they're bound by the spirit of Antichrist. Hello. And that they, none of them were of us. But you have an anointing. See, the Antichrist is an anointing. It's called anti-anointing. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. So if you're spiritually positioned, you are able to see things. You know things. It's when you're not spiritually positioned that you can't. You assume. People assume so much. I've not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the anointed one, the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to what? Deceive you, steal from you, impress you to do the wrong thing and make the wrong decision. Get you out of God's time. Promote a desire that's not from God. Many people fall out of God's time and will because they accept a desire that's got nothing to do with God's time and will. Verse 27. And what it does, it brings them back into captivity. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie. And just as it is taught you, you will abide in him. The anointing. In other words, this person's not teaching. We're being trained. These are not religious Bible studies. Hello? This is not a religious service. This is a training session in the presence of the chief and commander. And it's the Spirit of God that is speaking to us, not a man. He's trying to get us positioned. He tries to tell us how much he loves us if we're willing to receive. But we got to believe first, receive, and then execute. And I'm going to close at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Finally, all of you be of what? One mind. Having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats nor troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for what? Doing evil. Amen. Spirit breakout. We need to allow the breakout so we can break in. So we can get spiritually positioned where the power of possibility is released, where nothing is impossible. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. Father, thank you for your word this morning. We are honored and blessed. I apply the blood of Jesus on every seed that's been imparted in your people. That encouragement, increase of faith, increase of wisdom would be expressed in us and through us. That we would see things all the way through, hear things all the way through, and walk it all the way through. And that your character, your image, and your likeness, people will see in us, so that it's no longer us, but you. Lord, let the power of possibility be released wherever we go, as we offer you the praises and the words that you spoke out of our mouth into the heavenlies, to break loose those things that so easily bind us and entrap us. We thank you, we honor you, and we bless you. And we promise to give you all the glory and our freedom today. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.